Welcome back. We're live, pal. Those of you watching on video are probably a little alarmed at my background here. No green screen, so no photo of Dave Meltzer. But instead of Dave, I do have Andrew. Andrew, what's up, man?
What happened? Dave made you move out?
Yeah, he didn't want that. He didn't want that giant bubble iMac in the old background anymore. Now I'm having green screen issues, and I think it's related to my new iPhone. I got the new iPhone. It's got the different, you know, every iPhone has a better camera than the previous one.
You're on the iPhone right now, right?
I'm on the iPhone right now.
Looks great.
But it's not acting the same with my green screen as the old phone did. So I need to figure it out. I'm sure it has something to do with the software issue or whatever, but I'll figure it out. Sure. But for now, we're green screenless.
Let me just say, you and I did not coordinate our outfits today.
That is amazing.
That's hysterical. I mean, what are the odds? What are the odds, right?
I didn't even recognize that until right now.
That's hysterical.
Great. So Andrew's got a Death Row t-shirt, and I have a Tupac t-shirt. So we're rocking in the same mindset today. It's West Coast.
1994 here. 1995 here. Pasadena, where you at?
I wanted to mention one thing. I don't know if you saw this, Andrew, because Tony Leader shared it in a small Facebook group we have for the F4W convention. Let me read this to you, and I want to get your reaction here. It goes all capital letters, Wembley. Okay. So we are in the early stages of figuring out a Q&A and meet and greet between August 25th through August 27th. I'm hoping to know more within the week. How many from this group are heading to Wembley? Dave and Brian, all in Wembley Stadium, headed to London, F4W convention in the UK. What's going on? This is big time, man.
It's big time for sure. And listen, I think it's fantastic. I would love to be there if I could. And of course, you know, Dave should go and Brian should go and the rest of the crew should go. Are you going to go? Are you thinking about it?
It's a tough one. You want to pull that off and you want to take your significant other and possibly some kid, maybe not some kids, but at least your significant other and spend like a week. Because I've never been over there before, and I have friends over there. And I would love to, but I can't just say, oh, I'm going to jump on a plane, hang out a couple days, watch a wrestling show, and then fly back. That just doesn't seem responsible to me. But for them, they're working. So that it's like a business trip for them. For me, it would be like, you know, do I really want to go, and how badly do I want to go?
It's a long trip for you guys. For me, it's like 7 hours, right? For you, it's, you know, plus five.
Right. It is a long one. It is a long one for sure. So just, you know, want to make people aware about that. If they are interested in, or if they're going to the Wembley show in All In, which Andrew and I will talk about in a little bit, find Tony Leader. If you don't have Facebook, shoot Tony Leader an email and say you're interested, because he's trying to count heads right now to see if it's viable for Dave and Brian to head out there. Okay, so just the other convention that is, I will be going to, Andrew will not be going to, unfortunately.
Sadly.
So Friday, May 26th through Sunday, May 28th is the F4W convention in Las Vegas. Tons of stuff going on. There's the Texas Day Brazil dinner. There's the Ed in San Antonio wrestling show, Poder Cinco. There's the sweet party. And then, of course, the Q&A and meet and greet with Brian and Dave. So if you haven't yet, I can't imagine that people have not bought their tickets yet, but you can just check it out. It's on the front page. Tony is tweeting it at least once a day. So just, you can go to the WAN F4W Twitter account and find all the details. And I would love to say hi. I would love to say what's up and, you know, talk wrestling for a little bit. I will be there. And it's always a fun time. I mean, I go way back to, like, I think it was like, gosh, when's the first time I went? Like 2010 or something. So I've been going to these things for a very long time. I get to see a lot of old friends. And, of course, a wrestling show at the T-Mobile. And speaking of that wrestling show, we'll also talk about that wrestling show in a little bit. But based on sort of disappointing ticket sales compared to the absolutely fascinating number. Are we talking 70K for all in Wembley right now? Is that the number that you have?
I got somewhere between 65 and 70 on Sunday. That's what was told to me on Sunday. By the way, I don't know. I think Moxley was here. Can you call Mox and ask him if he was over my house? Because I got screwdriver,
or was he using a flathead? He might be using a flathead to, or maybe he's using that one.
I got this screwdriver. I got. I don't know what's going on here. So last week we didn't do a show. I had my son's baseball game on Monday. I had to work. I had to take meetings on Tuesday, so we didn't do a show. But there was that tweet that was put out that we discussed on Wrestling Observer Live that claimed that AEW was capping at 40,000 tickets.
That's what you call a bad tweet.
That's a bad tweet. And, I reached out to AEW about this, by the way, when this was happening. And I asked, I'm like, listen, like four different people asked me this at the same time on, I think it was Tuesday afternoon. What's going on? I'm like, it's weird that so many people are asking me this. And I got a tweet that says, hold on. Let me ask the boss. And I got a message back. And next thing I know, Tony went ape shit on Twitter about it. And listen, rightfully so. I get it, right? Because I just got something.
Uh-oh. In mid-sentence, stopped you in your tracks.
Something. Oh, I can't. I'll show you later. Important. I'll talk about it later. It's very important very cool.
You held that. You held. I think the audience collectively just held their breath for 3 seconds.
I'm so sorry.
Okay, continue what you were going to say. What were you going to say?
And I was always under the impression that they wanted to do 65. That was the number that was their success number, right? That's their home run number, 65,000. That's unbelievable. And forget about the fact that building is 90,000 people. 90,000, yeah, sure. But, you put the ring, you put the stage, and you take away a little bit. 65,000 was always the number. And I, not saying that AEW flat out told me, it's 65, but it's 65 scaled up. So they will open up more. If they need more tickets open, I know that they passed 60. By my counting, I counted 68. I pieced together 68. So maybe they're anywhere between 65 and maybe 70 right now, which is remarkable. No card announced, no CM Punk announced, no matches announced, nothing. It's just here we are and we're going to Wembley. Obviously, a lot of people are under the impression that CM Punk's there and that's going to help the ticket sales. But even if Punk wasn't going, I think they would be sitting at around 65,000 at this point.
So you're not surprised at all by the number.
At first I had initially set 55. I was taking the over on 55 after.
Yeah, I thought the number was around 50 to 55. And if anything over 50, I thought that would have been tremendous.
And I felt a little nervous about that, but I spoke to a couple people and I have a lot of friends in the ticketing business and, first time anything, this is what was said to me. This is coming from someone that is very heavily in the ticket business. When you take an American product and you go overseas for the first time, it's going to do remarkable business if you market it properly. And, as we know, AEW has really solid marketing. They know what they're doing. It's not some rinky dink operation. And I'm not surprised after that conversation that they did 65. Now, I will be shocked if they do 80 in a good way. Not saying that they can't, but that would be a really remarkable number. But, now we're talking about breaking records as far as tickets sold. This is getting interesting. And WWE is not happy about this. They're not. How can they be? They love to gloat about these numbers. And this is something that they've always had an advantage on. AEW is, great example. They're struggling with this pay-per-view in Vegas with the ticket sales. Yes. I think there's thousands of tickets still available. I think there's like 2,000, 3,000 tickets.
I don't think they've even hit 7 yet. I think they've only scaled for a little bit less than 10, but I think they're still under 7 at this point, which is,
let's find out.
It's pretty disappointing, but the thing about that we haven't really talked about on this show, I think it's Vegas. Like, Vegas is tough, right? Vegas is tough with the high ticket prices. That weekend is very expensive for Las Vegas. And, you know, it's a big ask to go there.
So now, it's not as expensive. It's not as expensive as it was last year. I looked at the tickets at flights today, this morning.
Yeah.
And my flight,
they're much better.
JetBlue, like, that JetBlue flight cost me $1,000 each way last year. And it's now $350 to go, and I think it's $185 back. So,
well, it's not cheap so much for me, but
oh, really?
But it is definitely cheaper than it was last year, for sure. But I'm not even comparing it to last year's a little different because it was finally, like, you know, we allowed Vegas to be Vegas last year, right? That was the draw for Vegas, so we're 1 year removed from that. But it's just, you know, Vegas hotels and finding places to stay off the strip and entertainment and food. It's just more expensive in Vegas than it is going to be in, you know, what's a Hoffman Estates or whatever, you know, where we're going to Domino's Pizza at 11 o'clock because nothing else is open. It's just a different thing, right? So it's just more expensive, and it's more expensive to travel and to follow. And if you are the hardcore of the hardcore wrestling fan, you probably like the idea that they're still doing it in the small building in Chicago because it's more homely. It feels more like it's your old AEW. So I get the Vegas thing, but here's my question to you, because I wanted to take advantage of what you just said. You're talking about, you know, people and tickets and the market for going to the UK for the first time for a hot US product. WWE just did a great show in Puerto Rico, and they haven't been there in a while. That crowd was hot. They wanted that product so badly, right? And so what we're learning is, rather than having these loyal markets, we're branching out into areas that are kind of hotbeds. And I wonder if AEW should continue to do Double or Nothing in Las Vegas. Should they still do All Out, you know, at that small building? Because it may, or maybe you do one, maybe you pick and say, well, we want the one loyal show to be in Chicago, and maybe Double or Nothing goes somewhere else. Though Double or Nothing being Double or Nothing has kind of the gambling metaphor there. But
yeah,
it just makes me wonder if, you know, let's take advantage from what we are learning, and maybe next year Double or Nothing is in a international place that they've never been, that is going to be a hotbed. And for the sake of the business, I may not be able to go to that show like I am going this show, but it's like, let's take advantage of where it's hot. I'm sure Tony is completely following this much more closely than either of us are. So I'm not saying that he's not doing that. I'm just saying that I would love to see them take advantage of what looks to be the current landscape for live pro wrestling.
Well, here's the other thing, right? You've added two more pay-per-views a year to their calendar. It's no longer, you know, Full Gear, Double Or. Yeah, you added Forbidden Door and All In. And it seems like, you know, it with the success of this, I would imagine that All In will become their WrestleMania big stadium show. But, you know, you have other opportunities. You have other fields. If you're going to continue doing this, you could do in different arenas. You don't have to do a 90,000 person arena. You could do, you know, Ford Field, for example. You could do something great over there. I don't know if the pay-per-view structure is going to stay the same. And if it doesn't, yeah, I think they should move it out of Vegas. You know, but part of it is the attraction of being in Vegas. But Memorial Day weekend is a brutal travel time. And same thing with Labor Day weekend. That's a brutal travel schedule.
And, you know, the UFC is showing that if you have the right product and you have the right fan base, you can run Vegas several times a year and sell out. And AEW is having trouble doing it once. But, you know, historically, as a wrestling market, Vegas was always pretty hard for wrestling. Eric Bischoff did it, you know, before in when WCW was just getting hot. But I do wonder if this is going to be long for Vegas for Double or Nothing. If it is, and if Tony's just like, you know what, we're going to ride it out, and this is a nice home base for us, I understand that too. But it just seems what the numbers are telling us is that, you know, international is hot, and going to new markets is hot. So That is that's going to be an interesting conversation.
I just want to correct myself. I said that All In is a pay-per-view. I don't believe it's a pay-per-view this year, but I do think moving forward it should be.
Okay, but if it's not a pay-per-view, then what is it? Like, you know, I know we have these Warner Brothers Discovery upfronts coming next Wednesday, and I think a lot of people really believe that this Max streaming network that is the combination of HBO Max and the Discovery Plus, I think people believe that it's sort of fit for wrestling, and like that's like the early rumor is that that show will be on that network. We have no idea if it is. I mean, it sort of makes sense, but does it make sense monetarily? Like, is it going to be a driver of subscriptions for Max? How Max much do you pay for that show? Like, that's kind of that's service. An interesting discussion.
Did you see the pricing on Max for like the All In without the ads and whatever?
Like the sorry, ultra.
No pun intended with that All In reference. It's the ultra package. It's like $20.
Yeah, it's ultra HD plus you can do downloads plus you can have more than one person. I'm actually interested. I may do the 20 just to see what the programming looks in this ultra HD. But I mean, you know, I already pay whatever the 15 is for HBO Max because I love that. It's like one of my favorite of the streamings. But yeah, this idea that pro wrestling should like when this stuff was broached, you know, a year ago. Is AEW going to be on HBO Max? I said at the time, I don't think so, because HBO Max is a little bit more prestige in their content than you would think pro wrestling would be. Now, HBO has historically had a relationship with wrestling, you know, going back to the rock and wrestling era. But I'm talking about today's version of HBO. And then when they created the Max streaming network, combining the two, and the idea was to not be as prestige because they think the prestigeness of HBO Max drives the consumer away. I'm still kind of befuddled about that one. We'll see.
Listen, there's nothing, those kids on Euphoria, there's nothing prestigious about what they're up to on that show, okay?
But if you pull that down a little bit, maybe wrestling is a perfect fit for what this new service is about.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a fan of HBO. I'm a fan of the service. And if, you know, you're talking about a library of 4 years of content at this point, and it doesn't live anywhere. That content is nowhere. If I want to go back, here's a great question. I want to go back and watch the 7th episode of Dynamite. Where am I going?
Let's watch episode 1 and do a watch along, man. I'm in.
Yeah, I'm in too. Where am I going though? Right? Like, tell me. I mean, it could be somewhere, but I don't know where it is. And that's a problem. That's a problem for the consumer.
Is the original All In on the ROH streaming service? Do you know?
It was. Yeah, it was. It was on the ROH streaming.
But you don't know if it's there now?
I don't know. I haven't logged in and checked it out, but it was on Honor Club for a while.
Because I think that would be a fascinating thing to sell Max to. Like, let's say they have some sort of deal. Who knows if they have their own channel, their own little tile, their own little hub. At some point, I mean, I'm hopeful for it because it just means more money for their content. But, you know, that could be a thing. Like, let's all rewatch All In and let's do like have a streaming party of some sort. Like, who's seen the show? I guess, okay. Now, here's a question for you. If they do show that show, is the Joey Ryan stuff eliminated from that show?
No, I guarantee it stays on. I don't think they're chopping it off.
Okay, if WWE had All In, would they still show the Joey Ryan stuff? I guess they still show Chris Benoit.
They still show Benoit. You know, they're not blurring him out of the that triple threat match. You know, so I don't know. I feel like, you know, they got it. It's either now or never. They're in a contract year. I'm hearing a lot of rumblings on that pricing for that for their new deal, which I've heard so many numbers varying. I don't know where we are right now with this, so I'm not even going to speculate on it. But
yeah,
you know,
too. It
is going to happen. They are going to get a good deal. Warner is very embedded in AEW for live content programming. It's inexpensive programming. I I would imagine that they would want to have them on that HBO platform, because here's the other thing, right? Right now, if for original live content on HBO, right? Original first run content, like Game of Thrones, mm-hmm. it takes you a year to come back to that show. Euphoria longer, takes you maybe. A year to come back, or maybe even longer, year and a half. It depends on it. So if you could guarantee next day viewership every week, and you get a couple hundred thousand people, or maybe 100,000-200,000 people, that's great.
Well, here's an amazing thing about what you just said. So Succession is in their final season. The ratings are at the highest peak of Succession. This was not a high rating show, but it's just so gradually built up its audience that if they decided to run season 6 and 7, it would probably be even higher than this year, because like you said,
yeah,
you don't come back for a little while. And in some cases, the audience isn't there. And that's what's good about the streaming thing is if you never watched Succession and then come back in season 5, you're like, oh my gosh, I got to watch all the previous 4 seasons. That's why that's valuable to HBO Max or to Max. But when Succession is over, after everyone does their watch, no one's really watching it again. And so it just sits there, which is part of the equation of the streaming thing that is going to be interesting to watch over the next few years, because will HBO go, you know, it costs us a lot of money to host this thing, you know, these 5 seasons and no one's watching it. Let's license it out to somebody else and then it'll just live there for a year or two. Then we'll bring it back and maybe people will binge it again.
I'm on my 8th viewing of The Sopranos at this point.
There you go.
On HBO. So, I mean, I go back for, and somebody brought it up because HBO shows get popular after the fact. And I think there is some fact that, like, The Wire. I got into The Wire after the fact. I never watched it.
Yeah, me too.
Oz, I got into, and I started watching that again. So it's a very unique platform. It's not like Netflix. I feel like Netflix goes above and beyond to try to connect to the youth. And they kind of fall flat on their face sometimes with the content that they create. It doesn't appeal it, but I think with HBO, they've played their cards right, and to have first run AEW content on there, I think I don't want to speculate because then someone's going to misquote me, but I lean heavier towards that because I think it's a dumb move if it's not, and I don't think these are dumb people. These are people that understand the business.
Yes, and you lock AEW in with this deal, right? They're going to be all in to make that joke again. Because if all of their content is on WBD properties and their library is hosted by this new streaming service, and then maybe it's also where you eventually buy your pay-per-views. Maybe you have to have a Max subscription to actually buy an AEW pay-per-view, you know, to pay the extra whatever it is.
I'm going to throw out a possibility here, okay? I'm just speculating. This is all speculative. That is my disclaimer. If, you know, Max came and said, "Hey Tony, here's $500 million. No more pay-per-views, no more pay-per-views. It's going to live on HBO Max just like how WWE lives on Peacock. Now you have Collision. You have Collision involved. You have Dynamite. You have Rampage. You have all the pay-per-views. You got the previous archives. Maybe you throw in Ring of Honor in that also. You know, do you need pay-per-views?
You know, the other thing about Max compared to Peacock, I think they're in about 2.5x homes versus Peacock.
Versus Peacock?
Yeah. I want to say HBO Max currently is probably in around high 60 millions, and I think Peacock is like in the 25s or something.
Yeah, I think Peacock is terrible. I think it's a terrible platform. So
it's pretty bad.
Cool stuff.
I mean, if not for the WWE stuff, I'm trying to think if we would have Peacock. There are some shows that, you know, they get bounced around. Like I think maybe New Girl or like, it was on Hulu and now it's on Peacock or something. So there may be some small uses of us watching Peacock, but it's really, for me, it's just WWE stuff. And on the other side, I actually watch HBO stuff. So the AEW, if they do end up on there at some point, that would just be additive. That would just make my subscription much stronger, my choice to subscribe much stronger for Max. All right. Yeah. We could talk about this stuff forever. I know we both love this stuff. Collision is coming up, and I know you've actually called it that, so I'm going to call it Collision. The set
it is Collision. It's 100% Collision.
People know it as Saturday Night with CM Punk. Have you heard more about who will possibly be on either show?
Yes. some names I've heard. And again, this is all being worked as we speak, right? It's all right now in the process of happening. And you know, it's wrestling. Until it happens, it hasn't happened. So if I'm going to take a smart bet here, I would say people like Andrade, guys that you haven't seen, and people that mm-hmm. should be presented in a top positioning, right? Like, you know, Andrade, that guy should be on TV every week. Miro should be on TV every week. Samoa Joe should be on TV every week. You know, these are guys that are kind of getting lost in the shuffle on one show on Dynamite. And to be honest, I don't think Rampage is a terrible show. I think the time that it's on is not great, but there is an audience for it. There's about 500,000 or so people that watch live and then DVR the next day. You have something there, but I don't want to watch Andrade in a main event at 10:45. I don't have it in me. So if nobody's seeing this, people can't get behind it. The buzz isn't happening. I would say move those guys to Saturday and put them on there. And you know what? You're going to create some great programs there. Swerve Strickland, for example, right? Swerve. Mm-hmm. He is a guy that should be on TV every single week. You're trying to build a new character. You're trying to build his faction. Him doing it on Rampage doesn't do anything for me. Every other week on Dynamite does nothing for me. This is another guy that I would say should be on that show. I think if you look at the card, you could kind of figure out where people should go. There was that that bogus list that came out a couple days ago.
You keep telling me about this list, and I've never seen it.
Yeah, before. the great Chris Jericho returning to his Y2J gimmick with his hands out.
And then can't get good service at Mandalay Bay, I guess. You heard that story?
I got a moth in here, or I'm seeing things. I've been poisoned. The ether's on in the studio. I would imagine, you know, some of those people that I saw on the list, I'm like, yeah, you know, those names is what I heard.
Yeah.
You know, and that was probably an intelligent guess. I don't think that was an official AEW run sheet or anything. But
here's a question for you. Based on what you know about these rosters.
Yeah.
So my co-host, John LaRocca, of the Fight Game podcast, he and I do a show Thursday night, and one of the main things is we review Dynamite, and we've done it since show number one. And Dynamite, I would say, the wrestling style, because it's a little bit more indie-based, a lot more lucha-based, it is not my preferred pro wrestling style. It is not John's preferred pro wrestling style. John's preferred pro wrestling style is like, everything is so logical and grappling and believable. Like, that's really his style. So we review Dynamite. But we also understand the lens of Dynamite is not our sort of favorite style of wrestling. And what I wonder is if this Saturday show becomes a little bit more old school to cater to people like John and I, to maybe split, like to make the difference, like, because you don't want to do AEW Dynamite on Wednesday and then AEW Dynamite 2 Electric Boogaloo on Saturday, right? You do want to have some kind of differences. And so I do wonder if the wrestling show will cater a little bit to the style of wrestling that I enjoy watching, just to differentiate from the high-flying, lots of spots, the chaos that is Dynamite.
I don't know. I think the general audience that watches AEW likes that style. And for me, again, I'm in your boat. I like the grappling. I like the more realistic style. The Bucks are not my favorite style, but I definitely appreciate everything they do. And I think they're fantastic.
Oh, yeah. They're superstars. I love watching.
You know, they're unbelievable in the ring. But for me, like, I want to see Danielson in a 60-minute every time. I want to see Okada. I want to see, you know, that's a style that I like.
Yeah.
Totally. But again, I'm 30. I'm going to be 39 on Saturday. So for me,
wow.
It's a very, I know, dude, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling
okay.
It.
Okay. But look, I'm going to say something here because, you know, throughout my early 40s, I was holding strong too. Very, I don't see a gray head of hair.
No, nothing on my
head.
No,
hair but on my, your head.
It's all a wig, dude. This is a wig. Ask our producer. He every time he sees me, he tries to pull it off.
But you have you have a beautiful head of hair. You have the color that is dark black.
Thank you.
Even the beard. I'm sure you could find little scraggles in your beard, but
there's tons actually in my beard.
It looks very dark. Looks very black. So you're rocking it very well. I think you're going to go until your mid 40s until you really see any of that gray.
My father's uncle Misha. Okay, Misha was a musician. This man, the day he died, he had jet black hair. No joke. I mean, he had like a couple grays, and that was it. So maybe I'll have that.
Yeah, grays are in the sideburns. The sideburns are gray. I still only have a handful of gray hair on top of my head. So, back to the dynamic of your
I think it should have a different feel to it. I prefer SmackDown over Raw because I feel like SmackDown is a little bit more wrestling than Raw does. I don't know what the vision is. You know, I've seen some things and everything that I've seen is a very much like you could tell what Tony Khan's wrestling influences in the things that I have heard and things that I have seen. I think he really wants this to be a really good wrestling product. And I think having, you know, CM Punk there and think of the opportunities for CM Punk right now, right? Like, okay, throw in a name, Ethan Page, right? They need to create the four pillars on this new show as well. You know, you have the four pillars on Dynamite. That's great. And obviously those guys will be on Collision also, but you have a unique opportunity to start over now and say, okay, well, you know, guys like Ethan Page and whoever else. I don't want to exclude anybody. Ethan Page keeps coming to mind for some reason. But guy like Ethan Page, you know, you could do a lot with him. And he really doesn't get that showing on Dynamite because it's a jam-packed show.
Yeah, he also needs to deliver, though. He's had some Ethan opportunities Page. And he has
but you know
not delivered on him as well.
I like his promos.
His promos are fine, but he also really doesn't win important matches, so that's the other part. Yeah. That's some of it is the booking.
You know, all right, I really want to see Andrade and Punk for some odd reason. I don't know why, but I keep leaning into that, and I've always said like that's such a weird matchup. You know,
I think we're gonna have some weird Punk matchups.
Can't wait.
Punk's gonna probably want to work with a lot of people. I'm guessing.
Who do you have on your list? Like, give me except take the Elite out, obviously, and take like Mox and those guys out. Give me your three matches, because I have three matches in my head that I want to see 100% with him.
With CM Punk?
Yeah. Like TV match, not pay-per-view, TV match.
Well, you could do a TV match, or this is probably better for pay-per-view, but I obviously want to see Danielson. There's Samoa Joe, and those are just really historic kind of, you know, you could talk about the ROH stuff going way back with those guys. I'm trying to think of like a newer wrestler. Like, I feel like if Wardlow, now this is not a match I necessarily want to see. I'm more so thinking about who can help Wardlow. And maybe if Punk thinks like, look, we got to make this guy our big bad on this show. I want to get him over because he's really struggled since he was over. And then they stopped his momentum. But I would like to see him work a program with Wardlow's not a young guy, but someone who hasn't been utilized as a star to help make a star. I would love to see a program with Punk and Wardlow, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Punk Andrade, Punk Joe. I want to see Punk Malakai for sure. Punk Pack. Punk Miro. I don't know why. I kind of want to see Miro cutting promos on CM Punk.
Miro's a really good one. Yeah,
there's so many different options here, and I'm not saying that Punk's going to be the savior of this show, but you know, for Tony to get a 2-hour time slot on TNT, which it is going to be on TNT, it's tremendous. and they have an opportunity to kind of do correct the wrongs of the last, you know, year or so and start over again. And I think that's a unique opportunity that you rarely get.
Can we talk about friend of the show, Will Washington?
Yes. Friend of the show. Good boy. What a handsome boy. What a nice boy. He really is. I was so thrilled when I was told that he was going there.
Yeah.
Well deserved.
I had this long conversation with Dave on Wrestling Observer Radio about why I thought it was a very courageous and smart hire by Tony Khan. And the reason I say that is because the wrestling industry, they see it reminds me a lot of college and professional sports in that the second you get in, you can't really get out unless they want you to get out. You just get recycled and recycled and recycled. Jeff Jarrett is one who has been, he's worked for all of these different companies, right? And his experience is so valuable because he's been everywhere. Wrestling's in his blood and he has so many different experiences. So I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I'm saying yeah, that's actually a good thing. But Will is so unlike any hire that I can think of. And I think the comparison I made on Wrestling Observer Radio is like, Will is more like kind of like how Tony Khan was a fan when Tony Khan was a young, you know, younger person before he, you know, before he decided to get into AEW. So like, I love that because it's like Tony Khan showing interest in somebody who's very passionate and is younger and doesn't have this inside the wrestling bubble mindset. He's got a fresh mindset. He's got fresh things to talk about. He has relationships with people in wrestling that, you know, an older, you know, 80-year-old Vince McMahon could never have with people. So I think this is so good for the business. And I'm so hopeful.
Are you saying that Vince McMahon would not fit well on the Grap City podcast? Is that what you're saying?
No. Because you know what he would do. He would wear a do-rag on and think that's what he was supposed to do.
He would think that that's what he's supposed to do. Because that's what an 80-something-year-old man that's totally out of touch with today's youth and today's pop culture would do.
For those who don't know the reference, it's because Vince McMahon did that on TV. That's why I made that reference.
That's why.
Yeah.
But here's the thing about Will, though, right? And you know, you brought up Jeff Jarrett. Great example. Jeff is great at what he does, but Will also has the outside perspective of having interest in other things other than wrestling. Will knows TV. He watches sports. He understands music. He is somebody that is connected to today. And when you're engulfed in one industry, it's very difficult for you to look outside and say, hey, we should do what they're doing here, because you really have no idea. I think for Will, he has a great perspective on so many different levels. And I think for Tony, he's a great asset to have. And he's also very organized and his wrestling IQ is tremendous.
Mm-hmm. He also was a part of the album, the Who We Are album, that came out on AEW Music. I don't know, over a year ago or so. So, you know, he's already participated in a product, AEW product before. And, you know, all I'm saying here, I don't want to make this political. I don't want to make this about race. Having someone with fresh ideas and fresh experiences is really good. And what I hope is that he kills it and then he's got a network. And then he's got people who he knows that think like him, you know, that understand wrestling in different ways than a lot of the people in wrestling. And so I just hope that it creates another network of folks who have an in to do what they want in the wrestling industry, if that's what they want to do in the wrestling industry.
Yeah, I think this is, you know, Tony respects him tremendously. And Will, you know, the funny thing is when I had Will on, I had no idea how similar our broadcasting backgrounds were. And I was shocked. And that kind of explains like why I very much like Will personally. We started off as fans of tech podcasts and tech TV, and it led us to professional wrestling in a weird way. So it's always fun to see someone that kind of had a similar approach to this, kind of enter into this world and be successful. And I hope he continues the success. You know, there's no guarantees at all, but I hope he continues to be super successful.
And it would make sense if he was working digital stuff, because I think he told me 2005 was when he first had a video podcast. So what we're doing right now, I mean, he did it in a different way, but you're talking almost 20 years ago when this guy tried to do a video podcast for the first time. So that's, you know, wild. That shows that he's kind of ahead of the curve in a lot of these things. So,
yeah.
All right. We spent a lot of time talking AEW. Let's slide in some WWE, because they did have a fantastic show. Now, just for people who are wondering why it took us 45 minutes to talk WWE, you and I did Wrestling Observer Live. I was your guest on Sunday, and we almost exclusively talked Backlash. So anything that we talk about Backlash now is just kind of regurgitating what we already said. That was a fun show, though. So if people haven't listened to that, you can hear our Backlash thoughts. But Backlash was a really, really fun show.
Now, I'm very honest about what I like about professional wrestling. And I'm always honest that, you know, recently I have leaned, for the last couple of years, I've leaned heavier towards AEW because I've enjoyed the show more. Whether or not you like it, that's your own issue. I'm not telling you, I'm not forcing you to like something you don't like. But for me, I very much enjoy AEW's content. I think WWE's done a good job the last, I don't know, year of, you know, kind of giving the audience what they want and trying to freshen things up and evolving. We could see that with their numbers. We could see that with their attendance. Cody's been a big help. Roman, obviously, has been a tremendous help. But there are moments that show becomes very static to me. Nothing changes, right? You put on Raw, I know what I'm watching. I know when the audience is going to react. I know how they're going to react. I know who's coming out. I know who's getting a pop. This show in Puerto Rico really... I watched it twice, dude. I went back the next day and I rewatched it again. And with my kids, I rewatched it because they loved it too. Why was it so good? Did they do something tremendous with you know, the storyline? No, they didn't. You know what they did? They put on a professional wrestling show and they gave you everything they wanted. You got a Savio Vega entrance. You got Bad Bunny. You got Carlito. They catered to the market and they knew it would get over. And you know what? That crowd was unbelievable. It was something that you rarely see in a WWE audience, especially in, you know, it gets difficult. Those shows are very long. You get tired. Every match people were hot for, except for the tag. I mean, that was after Bad Bunny, so it was kind of difficult, but they came back in the end. But I thought they did an exceptional job, and Bad Bunny was great. But praise to Damian Priest. That guy, they, you know, he's 40 years old. We were talking about this on Observer Live. It's time to do something different with him. Carlito being jacked to the gills. And, you know, you said it perfectly. The guy is a pro, right? He made sure to take that shirt off.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, Vince, remember when I was there? I didn't quite look like this when I was there before. What do you think about it now?
He looked great.
Well, it was a great show, and there was so much competition because there was the basketball games, Warriors-Lakers. There was the UFC pay-per-view. There was this show. And, you know, I had to make sure. I had to watch it before the end of the night, and that's not what my relationship has been with these PLEs always, you know. It's sometimes if I miss a PLE because of other stuff, maybe I'll watch it the next day. I may skip through stuff, but I had to watch that whole show because of how big that they've been doing these shows. And if you go back to February when they did the show in Canada, and then WrestleMania back-to-back nights, and then this night, that's like four major shows in a row where the crowd was absolutely fired up. So they're doing something right, and some of this is where they're running as well. And, you know, now they're building up to this this Night of Champions show, which, you know, that crowd is a little bit more bought and paid, so the reactions aren't necessarily always organic to how the product is, you know? So they're doing a lot of good things, but let's actually circle to what they did last night, because I was kind of interested Now we had Brock and Cody. Cody beats Brock at the PLE. Brock bleeds everywhere. Headbutts the turnbuckle to get blood.
By the way, isn't that dumb?
But Cody beats him with a wrestling move. Right, he reversed the Kimura and he got the pin. And so on Monday last night, Brock came out and just destroyed Cody, took him out of the match. So Cody's not in the running for this Raw Championship. I'm kind of glad for that being the case, because that is the consolation belt. And now we're going to get some sort of stipulations match at Night of Champions between Brock and Cody. So that still feels strong. It still feels like a big deal. We have this Raw title where they're doing four triple threat matches to build to a singles match. And so they did all the Raw stuff last night. They're going to do all the SmackDown stuff tonight. And then they're going to have a one-on-one match for this Raw belt. I watched that thing. I didn't like it from the beginning, and I thought the idea just felt cold. I don't feel sorry for Seth in any way, because Seth's going to make it work the way that he's going to make it work. But the fact that it seems like he's going to win this title, it doesn't seem like it's going to be something that benefits him because of how they're building and marketing and promoting this belt. It feels like this is Intercontinental Championship plus to me.
Well, to me, it seems like Cody and Seth are going to wrestle at SummerSlam, and that's going to be the moment for Cody.
But does Cody want that belt? Do we want Cody? I'm changing my kayfabeness here. Do you want Cody to win that belt? The way that it's presented today.
It's not about what we want, pal. It's about what the big man wants. Listen, you're going to have to tell that story eventually. And I don't know what the plan with Roman is, because someone has to beat him eventually, right? And you have Cody there. So do you do it now? Or does Roman just reign supreme for another, you know, couple months? I don't know. I could tell you, you know, it does feel cheapened to me with a secondary title belt now, or a third. I don't even know what they're going to do. They haven't even addressed it. Like on SmackDown, does Roman show up with only a universal title now? Do you retire the black WWE world title? Because that's a much better title belt.
He looks like more of a badass with two belts on his shoulders.
Of course.
So
yeah.
I would just keep it. Of course. Like that.
So I would too. By the way, Raw did 1.78 million last night.
So pretty much even from last week.
Mm-hmm. 0.51 in the demo, 18 to 49. It was number four on cable, but, you know, tough night.
Yeah, Warriors-Lakers, man.
And the Knicks?
Yeah, the Knicks and the Heat. Warriors-Lakers made me really sad, by the way. Not that anyone would be surprised based on that outcome. But yeah, that they're coming out of backlash, so that helps that number. And then, you know, the stuff that they did with these tournament matches helped that number. I thought they did a pretty good job at staying even based on the competition. Because yeah, the basketball game did 7.5 million.
What do you think of Brock doing it the hard way, rather than just cutting himself?
I mean, you said it's really dumb. Now, it makes him look even more like the badass that he is, right? But how many people know that that's how he really got blood? You know, how many people know that it was hard way rather than with, you know, to cut himself? So I get weirded out by that kind of stuff, because we know too much about concussions and head injuries these days. He believes that it makes him, you know, makes him look more the part, and it does, but not to his own health benefit, for sure. Like that's not good for him to do, you know, to bang his head like that, to split it open. It's so dangerous too, because what if he missed and he accidentally like caught some of his eye, and then he could have, you know, injured his eye? It's crazy. He must be a pro at that, you know, to make sure that he can do it that way, because that looked insane when he did it.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Here's a question for you relating to that belt. And again, I'm going to throw in my my co-host John LaRocca's name, because he had a booking idea for this third belt. He said, and this is not what's going to happen, and this was even before we even knew what the who the competitors were, but he said he wished that Brock actually won that consolation belt, because putting it on Brock would have made it way bigger. And then when Cody beats Brock for that belt, like at SummerSlam, then it would have been a worthy title. And then it's sort of like the step to Roman's title. Now, the way that it is, it doesn't feel that way. I thought that was really brilliant booking by John, by saying, you know, let's put it on Brock. And then, but what it takes away is Triple H's whole reason for having the belt, which is he wants the worker to be on Raw every week and to wrestle every week. And that's not Brock either. So yeah. I get why they couldn't do it. But that would be a way where I'd be like, okay, let's put the belt on Cody, because it's on somebody that he can actually get something from. If he beats Seth at SummerSlam for the fourth time in a row, big whoop. Like, who cares? That he's expected to beat Cody, or, you know, to beat Seth. And it doesn't make that status of that belt any bigger.
Yeah, I think Brock would have been great for that. But I don't know, man. Too many titles. You don't need to. One title is good enough. I know that there's marketing aspects to this. There's merchandise aspects to this. Having two titles works, but they needed to update the title. They probably looked at the slipping in sales for those replica belts. You know, like, all this is accounted for. Here, I got the title right there. You see it right over there. I don't know. You know, it could work out that people love this title and this becomes the number one title in the company, or it just falls flat, like you said, and it becomes a secondary title like they had on SmackDown with the world title all those years. So I don't know. It really depends on how they position this with story more than anything else.
What do you think about the brand split part of this? Do you think they're going to try and really do like a hardcore brand split where the only time Raw versus SmackDown happen is on pay-per-view?
I hope not.
I don't see that happening.
You know, they tend to say they do this for a couple months and then something happens or someone gets hurt and some, you know, rating slips and all of a sudden Roman Reigns is on Raw.
Yeah.
You know, I'm willing to bet if Raw hits a 1.5, I'm certain that we're going to see Roman Reigns show up for something. Same thing on SmackDown. You know, SmackDown ratings start slipping. You're going to see Cody show up or whoever show up. This is what they've always done. It's never a hard split. They kind of lose interest in splitting the roster after a couple months, and then you're back to where you were, where everybody's on everything.
One of my favorite acts in all of wrestling is Jay and Jimmy Uso. Like, I just love every time they're on TV. I have to watch their segments. And they weren't on TV yesterday. They were missing from the show because they're not on the Raw brand. And, you know, you saw the highlights from the Backlash show and they were on it. But I was like, you know who I'm missing on this show? Even more than Roman. Because I think they are much more of a connective tissue for the wrestling shows than even Roman is. Roman's the main event. He's the guy that you wait for at the end.
Yeah.
But to keep me entertained and to keep me engaged in the show, the Usos and also Sammy and Kevin, like that whole thing, that was missing from Monday for me. And I was like, I don't know if I like this. I want to see my Usos.
Well, they got to create bigger stars, right? They got to create more people that people want to see. You know, that's they have a machine. I mean, look how many people from NXT are coming up. What is it, 17 people?
Yeah, none of them are going to be. I don't feel like any of them are really going to be pushed seriously either.
I mean, I don't know. You know, Austin Theory's getting a decent run right now, but you know, he was chosen. Ciampa's coming back, which that's a positive.
Yeah.
So you know, it gets difficult. Again, AEW is going to face the same exact problem for sure.
Yeah, no, I get it. So what do you want to do here? Are we going to go a little 5 minutes extra on YouTube exclusive? Is that what we're going to do here?
Yeah, you want to do that? Let's do that. Let's do a little 5 minute YouTube exclusive. If you're watching on Twitch, head on over to our YouTube channel. And you want to do like a little Q&A or something? We could look at the chat room.
Why don't Why don't you look for a couple questions? And what we'll do is, while we're looking for questions, we will also look at Dynamite for tomorrow, which is a pretty strong lineup. When you put Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley in a cage as your main event, that is a strong, strong match. So I guess first and foremost, what is, I know the goal. Dave already told us what the goal of these shows are, which is just to make sure that they don't drown based off of all of the competition. But where do we go? What are you looking for in this Omega versus Moxley match? Do you think, because cage matches are supposed to be like the stamp, right? They're supposed to be the end of the feud. That's not where this is going, which is why I'm actually intrigued that it's in a cage, because if it's BCC versus Elite, then we're going to get people jump in the cage. Like, what are you seeing in this match here?
How soon does Moxley bleed is my question. How many screwdrivers is the top of the cage covered in AEW?
No, because how would Cody have done the moonsault off the top of it? Remember,
how would Cody have done it? Yeah, you're absolutely right. Listen, they're going to have a hell of a match. I think that main event is something that they need to do on TV. We're going to see a fantastic showing from both of those guys. But again, does this lead to a blood and guts match? That's what it's kind of leaning towards for me.
Is it going to be blood and guts, or is it going to be anarchy in the arena? They have two of these, like, crazy, insane matches that they could do.
I hate the anarchy in the arena. Yeah, I did not like the first one. I didn't like the second. I didn't like it. It didn't do it for me. I know people loved it. People freaking love that Anarchy in the Arena match. There's nothing that appealed to me in that match.
It was hard to watch.
I could be wrong. For me. Was it? Okay. I guess I'm not alone.
I saw it a different way, right? I saw it in the building. So it was like I'm trying to watch five different things at the same time, and it was really hard. But it was also the match in where, Bryan Danielson really got hurt in that match. So it is a dangerous match to have. And I don't know if they could live, it's kind of like you're doing it twice. Remember when they did, what was the fake match called that they did in Jacksonville during the pandemic?
The fake?
Remember that they had to like shoot it and then like stitch it together. And it was the main event. They've done it twice. It was the one where, remember when Matt Hardy fell on his head? Is that the same show?
Yeah, with
somebody in the chat room has got to be
Stadium Stampede.
Stadium Stampede. So the Stadium Stampede match, the first time, it was like, oh wow, this is really creative. Now some people are not going to like it because it's not just one take, and there's lots of production involved. But the second one had a lot to live up to, and that was going to be tough. So I wonder about this Anarchy in the Arena match, if they do that one again for Vegas. It's a lot to live up to, and how much of it kind of looks the same, and are you going to do the same spot? Like, it's not really spots. It's like, the violence and the hitting each other with stuff. I think Blood and Guts is a little safer. But then you need the two rings, right? And then you need the double cage, and you need the that aspect of it. Do you want that on pay-per-view? I don't know. There's things to think about, but there has to be one of those two matches, unless there's a third crazier match that we don't know about. And I hope it's not Stadium Stampede. I don't think that's the right vibe for this.
That's the match I didn't like, by the way. It was Stadium Stampede. I didn't care for Stadium Stampede.
Okay, so you did like Anarchy in the Arena.
Yeah. It was Stadium Stampede that I didn't really like.
Okay.
Too big. Too much space.
Yeah. And it just looked very produced. And in some instances, it was good. And in some instances, you're like, I'm not sure that that's necessarily the pro wrestling that I like. But
yeah.
My hope is that we get a definitive winner in this match. I mean, is it going to be Kenny winning? What do you think? Can Kenny lose? I don't know if Kenny can lose, or Kenny, he's kind of hot right now. I don't know if
he
would have
hot
him lose.
And they need to, and this is the best part about professional wrestling, when you don't know, when you can't guess. And I really can't guess right now on who wins and who doesn't. I think the story continuing is worth it because I think it's a good story. Danielson and Omega are going to probably have another match somewhere down the line. So maybe it leads to that. Maybe Danielson costs him the match and it leads to Danielson. You could do something there.
Yeah, yeah. I think the thing that I'm looking forward to most is the story, obviously the story that they're telling. I want to see where they go. They obviously have an idea how to get to the next big thing. Because I think this is a setup for whatever that main event match is in Las Vegas. This has got to be the setup for it. So I hope it's something big. And I can't see Kenny losing unless the reason that Kenny loses is for them to have the big match. So I still don't think he's going to lose, but I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued at what they're going to do.
I am too.
All right.
Let me see.
What else on the show?
Do we have any questions? Tim wants to know, since they brought back the old world title, would they bring back the old winged belt? I know it's been pitched a couple times, but I think for nostalgia reasons, if they did something like that, it would be cool. But I don't see them doing it. They're moving forward. They're not going backwards.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing, right? They're trying to sell new things. They can already sell the old one. They can already sell this old title, but they want to add more new. You know, they don't want to go backwards. They want to go forwards.
Yeah. I hope Kenny wins. Didn't get too many questions. We didn't prepare them. We confused everybody with our Stadium Stampede conversation. But
why? It's because we're live, pal. We didn't plan this. We're live.
I got a question for you. Okay.
Yep.
What's the main event you want to see at All In?
Yeah, this was the Dave question. I want to see Omega Ospreay 2. That's my favorite match of the year.
The main event you want to see?
That's what I want to see.
What did Dave say?
He took a poll. It wasn't even a Twitter poll. He took an email poll. He said, here are the options and email me your answer. So he's got to hand count all of these answers.
Interesting.
What do you want to see?
Obviously it's Omega. It's the Bucks and Omega versus Punk and FTR in some, like, that would be what I would be like, oh my gosh, I want to see it. But I'm not saying that's a reality. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. We don't know. You got to do something with the world title. You got to do something with Punk. You got to do something with the Bucks, and you got to do something with Kenny. So there's a lot of top matches you could have. Jericho, maybe you do Jericho and Punk.
Maybe that's a main event in London.
And then you're coming back the next week. You're in Chicago. So I don't know what the hell you're going to do in Chicago. CM Punk has to headline that, right? It's Chicago. He has to be there. He has to have a big match in Chicago.
Yeah, maybe he does a number one contenders match at All In to get a title match at All Out. That would be interesting.
I'm so fascinated by this because they're going to have to juggle this thing around a ton. And, you know, and something that I said from day one, when CM Punk went there, when Kenny, you know, you had Punk, you had Omega, you had Danielson, you got to get through some of these super matches before someone gets hurt. You know, you really should try to put this together and move forward with it, because we see CM Punk gets hurt regularly, you know, and I'm not a knock against CM Punk, just, you know, your body changes. I fractured my hip. I'm going to be 39. I fractured my hip last year just on nothing. So things happen. Things change. You have an opportunity to do some really cool stuff in the history of your company. This is your second chance. You know, maybe you do Jay White and, you know, Punk. You could do something like that. Something unique, something different. But there's a couple matches you need to get. You know what? What if you did do Danielson and Punk? What if that's the match?
Be a good one.
Why not? These two have worked together in the past. You know that they have a history together. They both appreciate each other's art form. I would stop if I'm in London and I'm a wrestling fan. I would say, yeah, hell yeah, I want to see that.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, just so we don't make producer John work too hard here, let's quickly go through the rest of this lineup and then we'll get out of here. So Christian Cage will be on Dynamite talking about Wardlow. The rest of this lineup, Orange Cassidy against Daniel Garcia probably opens the show, as Orange Cassidy has opened from time to time. House of Black against Bandido and the Best Friends. Anna Jay versus Julia Hart. Claudio Castagnoli versus Ray Phoenix. Kind of interesting matchup there. FTR will respond to Jay Lethal's challenge, and I think that is it. So should be a pretty good show. I think it's probably gonna be hurt by the NBA ratings, but this is their best opportunity to kind of stay afloat here. So should be a fun show though.
Yeah, let me just say one. I'm a total fool. You know what that main event has to be?
What?
Jeff Jarrett and CM Punk. That's the match. That's the main event. I don't care what anybody says. That's the main event. That's going to sell the place out. 90,000 tickets. And I agree. Jeff Jarrett and CM Punk.
There you go.
You know what? That's a dream match you've never seen.
And he should also perform. He should also be the musical performer and perform With My Baby Tonight after the show.
With My Baby Tonight. I would love it. I would love it.
Yeah, but then he's going to have to bring in BG James there to help him out.
Can he sing the song? Does he have the rights to sing it?
Probably not. maybe he just does it at karaoke, right? You have him just do a giant karaoke party in London, and that's the hook that Jeff Jarrett's going to sing With My Baby Tonight. All right, we're done here. I'm sure you and Rich will have a lot to talk about on Mat Men, as will John the Rock and I on the Fight Game podcast. I will probably not be with Big Dave on Friday because I'm heading to Arizona. My youngest graduates from college, so be out there. Arizona Wildcats.
I'm so glad you're ruining my Saturday morning on my birthday. No Garrett and Dave on my birthday. What the hell am I going to do in the morning?
I'm bummed too, because I think Dave wanted us to talk to Conan, and I've never talked to Conan before. And you know, Conan and I have a lot of similar interests, so I'd always wanted to talk to him. But
No, I can't, because they record that show at like 4:30 in the morning, dude.
No, not on Fridays. We usually record it. Your time would probably be like 4 or 5 p.m. your time on Fridays when we usually record.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah. So, anyway, I think we're gonna still try and do it at some point, but just not gonna be able to do it this Friday because I'll be out of town.
Very cool.
All righty. For Andrew, I'm Double G. Thanks for hanging out with us for an extra 10 minutes there. Thanks, producer John, for hanging out with us as well. We'll see you when we see you. Peace out.